Howdy, Bill.
Did you wait around for me?
How'd it go?
He thinks I may have an eating disorder.
Josh.
And fear of rectangles. That's not weird, is it? I didn't cut my hand on a glass. I broke a window in my apartment.
This guy's walking down the street when he falls in the hall. The walls are so steep he can't get out. A doctor passes by and the guy shouts up, "Hey, you, can you help me out?" The doctor writes a prescription, throws it down in the hall, and moves on. Then a priest comes along and the guy shouts up, "Father, I'm down in this hole, can you help me out?" The priest writes out a prayer, throws it down in the hall, and moves on. Then a friend walks by. "Hey, Joe, it's me, can you help me out?" And the friend jumps in the hole. Our guy says, "Are you stupid? Now we're both down here." The friend says, "Yeah, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out. As long as I got a job, you got a job, you understand?"
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am sitting here with Mr. Beef on North Harlem himself, Patrick DeStefano.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Back again by popular demand.
Yeah, popular demand. I couldn't get anyone else.
No, I was sitting on my front step, begging me.
Can you please come out tonight, please?
It was kind of like that, except you're on your knees.
Oh, when am I not?
I don't know.
Right? So that was a opening for our special guest at the beginning of today's program, John Fritchie.
I thought I was the special guest.
Yeah, sure. And Lenny and I did a sit-down yesterday with John Fritchie, the commissioner of Cook County.
Really nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. And Cook County's kind of a big deal, I guess.
A little bit.
Yeah, I guess they got some things going on.
I think we're bigger than New York over here, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Fuck New York.
Yeah.
We work really hard with Chicago, Commissioner of Cook County works kind of side by side with Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a big deal, I guess.
His right hand, yeah.
Is that Rahm Emanuel guy any good? What does he do?
Yeah, he runs around.
Yeah, he's mayor or something.
I think he stops us from spending money.
So
No, he taxes us. Never mind.
So Lenny and I did an interview with him yesterday. We're going to play it for you right now. And I guess that's the best way I can introduce the interview. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll be back after the interview, and we have a lot of show for you today. Pauly Casilla, who is at Not Gary Busey on Twitter, and also Pauly Pellegrosso on Twitter, and he's the funniest guy on Twitter, in my mind. And
you're the funniest guy on Twitter.
Well, we're tied. I don't do the Twitter much, though.
No?
That's the thing. No, Caesar does a lot of the Twittering, like, Paris Hilton, you want to come on our show, please?
He was just talking about her.
Forget, you know, she is a terrible human being. Terrible. Awful. Have you seen that reality show of hers?
No, I didn't catch it.
She fires everybody. She's a piece of shit. She's terrible
perfect
person.
She's perfect for Caesar, though.
Well, I don't understand because her mother's great. I like her mother. But we're getting off topic here.
Well,
we're talking about
the both of them out.
Well, we're talking about what a C-word Paris Hilton is. And
look at him.
Well, I didn't say C word. I didn't say the word. I said C word.
That's his girlfriend in his mind, and you're doing that?
He's going to Zamboni her.
He's in love. He's going to Zamboni her. You got it.
All right. I'm sorry, Paris. You should come on the show because Caesar wants to Zamboni you. I'm a big fan of yours now. All of a sudden, big
I am
fan.
You're not a big fan of her?
No.
I like
She's
her.
A bad person.
Really?
She's not a good person. She's soulless. She has no soul.
Really?
What have you ever seen her do that was worth salt?
She fired a bunch of people.
She fires everyone she meets, and her best friend is Charlie Sheen's ex-wife, who's a nut job. She's a little hoo-hoo.
She is kind of cute, though.
Yeah, they're all cute, but they're all cuckoo. Like, they're insane.
Just like you.
No. No, I'm a better person than that.
Caesar over here.
I've wanted to fire Lee for weeks, and I can't do it. So, you know, I'm a classy guy.
Maybe call Paris up. She'll take care of that.
No. Yeah, I want. The only guy I can't fire is Caesar, because he does all the work. Mm-hmm. Producer Caesar, the hardest working producer in show business. And he almost smiled. I almost got him to smile. He's very mad right now because Paris Hilton was his get. He was going to go out and get her. And now she's never going to do the show. But here's our interview with John Frischi, Cook County Commissioner. Thank you.
We've had on Oscar winners, Emmy winners, Tony winners. But this one for me is like, I don't know. This is a big privilege for me because I really respect you as a politician. I really like what you're doing out there. And it's great that you're willing to come on the show.
Well, hey, I really appreciate it. If I'm the big highlight, you got the bar set pretty low.
Well, for me, you're a highlight because I always tell Lenny, every entertainer wants to be a politician, and every politician wants to be an entertainer.
You know, and that's why I think that both arenas have their own share of crazy people in them.
Right.
it's all a bunch of folks that weren't hugged enough as a kid.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of my first question for you, John. Why politics? And also, just because I'm curious, because you and I have a lot of the same opinions and views, why a Democrat? Or and I like the way you put it, independent Democrat.
Well, as far as why politics is concerned,
yeah.
My mom actually came here from another country, and my parents split up when I was very young. My mom, you know, stayed here. This was in the mid to late 60s. You know, she stayed here as a young divorced woman to raise a child because she thought that, you know, I would have the most opportunities here over time. And I really felt that at the end of everything, you know, that I owed something not just to her, but really for the opportunities that I had. And I know it sounds somewhat sappy, but that really was it. This was an opportunity for me to, you know, try to give something back. I didn't know when I first ran for office if it was going to be successful. I sure didn't think I would have spent, you know, at this point almost a third of my life in politics. It's been 15 years now. But, you know, as long as I feel I have something that I can give back, you know, I'll continue to do it.
Well, and you're doing a pretty good job, too, John. I mean, to go over some of your resume, I mean, you were a state rep, a Chicago Ward Committeeman. Are you still in the Chicago Ward Committee?
I am on the Cook County Democratic Party. I'm the Democratic Committeeman for the 32nd Ward.
Right.
The 32nd Ward is essentially Ukrainian Village, Bucktown, DePaul, Roscoe Village, some of the west edge of Lakeview. Right. You know, it's a great area. It's the ward that I've lived in for the last 15 years. I've been the committeeman for almost 4 years now. And, you know, it's been a great opportunity, I mean, to serve at, you know, the state legislative level. You know, I was 31 when I first ran, 32 by the time I got sworn in. And I was able to spend 4 years as chairman of the Consumer Protection Committee, 8 years as chairman of the Civil Judiciary Committee, sat on the Joint Committee for Administrative Rules, JCAR. You know, being a Cook County committeeman and being part of the Cook County Democratic Party, which is arguably maybe one of the more famous political organizations in the country, and then being able to serve on the Cook County Board at a time when there's a lot that can be done at the Cook County Board.
No. And bouncing off that, if you want to speak a little bit to the Gang of Six and what you've been doing with the county board, I mean, you were picked to sit on pretty much this little group, and you're examining ways the county could save money. I mean, you're getting a lot of press on that, along with President Preckwinkle and Mayor Emanuel now. So if you want to speak a little to that.
Yeah, sure. You know, I was candidly, you know, honored to be asked to be on this. Basically, the mayor and the board president got together in what was long overdue but unprecedented and said they were going to set out to figure out ways that the city and county could work together to be able to deliver services to taxpayers and deliver the same services, but do it more efficiently, do it for less money, do it with less waste. So we were given essentially 90 days. It was supposed to be 45, but we had more on our plate than we realized, and we just issued the report yesterday, as a matter of fact, and we touched on everything from efficiencies in how the city and county manage their fleet to how they purchase things, anything from office supplies to vehicles to road salt, whatever it may be, to facility management, to our technology, really across the board. And by our estimates, we think that we'll be able to save, you know, anywhere from maybe $60 to $150 million, not by cutting back on things, but by doing things smarter and more efficiently. And that's how you've got to operate. In the economic times that we find ourselves in, I don't care whether you are running a household, a small business, or a government. You need to be smart. You need to be efficient. And when you're talking about the public sector, you need to be effective in delivering those services, whether it's health care, whether it's public safety, whatever that may be. And I think that, you know, a number of our recommendations are going to be acted on immediately. Some of them will take some time and be implemented in the next city and county budgets. And some of them will need some administrative help from the legislature in some statutory changes. So, you know, we've talked about, for example, merging the Chicago Board of Elections with the election responsibilities of the clerk's office, David Orr's office. You know, if you think about it, a lot of these things make sense. You know, every resident of Chicago is by definition a resident of Cook County. And if there's overlap in services, you know, let's see if we can do it smarter and better. And I think we're going to do that.
See why I like this guy, Matt?
Yeah, no, he's the best. And with revenues
tightening, Commissioner, what's your take on the casino being put up in Chicago now?
Because yeah,
I think one of the aims was for that. That's a big issue now. I think Mayor Daley was going after that for a couple of years. Just because revenues are tightening, there's nowhere else you could draw money.
More than a couple. More than.
Well, Lenny, we had this conversation the other night about the casino. We were talking, excuse me, we were talking about how, now my question about the casino is, so I want to get your take, John, but I also want to know why under Rahm Emanuel is it getting more support than under Richard Daley?
You know what? Good question. As far as my personal thought on this, and I'll tell you right now, it's going to sound like a political answer, but I'll tell you where I'm coming from. I consistently voted against gaming expansion bills when I was in the legislature. I voted against the Rosemont bill. I voted against other attempts to pass large gaming expansions. And it had nothing to do with moral grounds, candidly. As Lenny knows, you know, I enjoy gambling. I like to play poker.
Right.
You know, so I have no issues from that standpoint. I just think that it's a lazy way for government to make ends meet. I don't think that you should start relying on gaming to do this. Keep in mind that gambling is the most regressive source of generating revenue that there is out there. When I'm talking about gambling, I'm not just talking about casinos. I'm talking about things like the lottery as well. It is played disproportionately by the people that can least afford to play it.
Yeah.
So you're looking at balancing our budgetary problems on the backs of the poorest in society. Now, all of that being said, you know, it's not as if we're talking about bringing gaming here for the first time. There is gambling here. There's gambling around the state, and more to the point, there's a lot of gambling in Indiana. If you go to the casinos over at Hammond and by Gary over there, you will see a whole lot of Illinois cars. And the fact of the matter is, if we're going to have Illinois residents gambling, let's have them do it in Illinois, and let's capture those tax dollars. And I understand that argument. You know, and especially when you talk about putting it in Chicago, when you talk about getting tourist dollars. You know, the idea that, you know, that there's a casino that's opening in about 3 weeks now, 4 weeks now in Des Plaines. So that'll be right there, right on near the airport and by all those hotels. And we'll be getting a lot of out-of-state dollars coming into our state. So from that standpoint, you know, I fully understand it. I just thought that, you know, it's not something we want to get carried away with and start to rely on as a way of making ends meet.
As Quinn said, not the Vegas or the Midwest.
Right, you don't want
right.
Atlantic City, yeah.
You know, well, you know, with respect to your other point about why it happened now, I don't know that it's so much a factor of Mayor Emanuel per se, and that still sounds strange when it comes off your tongue as opposed to Mayor Daley. But I think everything lined up for it right now, most of which being the bad economy. And you know, the state and the city and other municipalities are desperate for revenue sources. you know, the state already raised the income tax, and that's just going to be, you know, going primarily to pay our past due bills and upcoming bills. So they needed money. And, you know, as I alluded to before, gambling is an easy way to raise revenue. You know, it's a voluntary tax. If you don't want to, you know, if you don't want to pay into the revenues generated by gambling, don't go to a casino. Don't buy lottery tickets. So, you know, you got that choice. It's not being put on the backs of everybody. And that's the good part. The bad part is, as I said, it's being put on the backs of a lot of people that can't afford it.
Right. Now, I had kind of a layman's question for you, because we have a lot of 18 to 35-year-old males that listen to the show. And I think some of them are kind of wondering what they're going to do with their lives and where they're at in their lives. And, John, so I was kind of wondering, being a politician, is it like the Aaron Sorkin movies, or is it like the Michael Bay movies? You know, they always have the politician characters, and one's all very powerful and very, you know, the Michael Bay movies, they're always powerful and they're always in control. And then the Aaron Sorkin movies, is it more like the West Wing, you know?
You know what? I think I go more along the lines of Bulwark.
Are you going to rap for us, John?
You know, it wouldn't be the first time. You know, if you play your cards right, maybe I'll drop some verses for you one day.
Oh, that'd be great.
you know what? One of the things I love about politics, what I really loved about being in the legislature, was it's a cross-section of folks. You know, so people always hear about, you know, the Mike Madigans of the world or the Ed Burks of the world. You know, but I spent 14 years serving with farmers, teachers, stay-at-home moms, pharmacists, bankers, dentists. You know, so you really saw a cross-section of personality types, of styles, of viewpoints, and that's really how it should be.
Yeah.
You know, even when you look at the city council, and you see the variety of people that you had there and have there. So, you know, it's really a little bit of everything. I think the characters that you see on TV and the movies tend to be the, you know, it's almost like they took, you know, some Play-Doh and they put a bunch of different characters together and they try to take the sexy, interesting ones. So.
Right. Now, what are you expecting from Rahm now being mayor? What are you expecting as a change in the city from Daley to Rahm?
Well, you know, part of me thinks that this may be, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing a lot of new faces. Rahm is a guy that's out here to do what needs to be done, not necessarily to make friends, and that's really what you need in, you know, in these times right now.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, Chicago has kind of had a tightly controlled government, and I think that's going to be the same. While we're going to see Chicago be smarter, because we're going to have to be. So things like, you know, I'll give you an example of things that people may not think of, but ways that government needs to be changed. You know, right now, garbage pickup gets done along ward boundaries. So each ward will have, you know, its own streets and sand crew, and they do the garbage pickup within those wards. Well, it really, if you think about it, the wards only exist for political reasons. You know, they don't make any rhyme or reason. You know, if you look at them, they look like a Rorschach test. So what the mayor's talking about doing, which is what they do in many other areas, is forget about the ward line, and let's just look at a grid system and figure out how to clean, you know, pick up the garbage more efficiently. Now, that's not sexy stuff, but you know what? It's going to save us a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think what you're trying to tell us here is on the state level and on a city level, part of the problem of why we're so in debt is we need to do things more efficiently.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm getting from this.
Best answer. Yes.
What do you got, Wendy?
No, Matt, you didn't even need me to answer the question. You can answer the questions.
Oh, I could have had Lenny answer.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I got one other question. I mean, this should be a big honor for Matt to have you on the show, Commissioner, because you are probably the one person in the world that is more connected on Facebook and Twitter than Matt Aaron. I mean, every time I log on, you are, and I know it's him posting, and he posts everything, whether it's current events, random funny thoughts. I mean, it's him, and it's not like he just posts something and doesn't respond. He's active in the comments on it. He posts on other people's wall. He's very active.
John,
and that's something like a lot of politicians just...
John and I are actually in a conversation on Facebook right now.
As we speak. No, but you know, but what Lenny said is true. You know, for better or worse, you know, I've got to fess up. You know, that everything that's on my Facebook page, everything that's on my Twitter page, you know, comes from me. And I don't maintain and use a separate campaign account and a personal account. It's kind of like, you know, what you see is what you get. A lot of folks don't want to do it that way. A lot of folks think that it's, you know, either foolish or risky or whatever it may be. And I've had a lot of my colleagues say, you know, what are you doing? You know, I enjoy it. You know, this gives me probably the best opportunity to express myself and kind of say, here, this gives you an insight to who I am, not just what you, you know, may read on the news or see in TV. But, you know, this will let you know who I am. And, you know, it's a great way to communicate with folks. You know, like Lenny just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, somebody may post their thoughts on something and, you know, they can reach me, Lord knows, too many hours out of the day. But I like it the way, it helps break down the barriers. And I think, you know, I'd like to think at least that, you know, the way I'm doing it has proven results.
Yes.
You know, I was mentioned on a national political site last week. I was singled out for my Twitter account. I've got probably 4,000 some odd folks on Facebook, maybe 1,700 or so on Twitter, and you know I love it. I love being able to communicate with people. I like to be accessible like that, and I like, you know, as cliche as it sounds, I like the ability to keep it real, at least online.
Yeah, no, John, and I wanted to make that point. I'm glad Lenny brought it up because I know a lot. I'm a young guy. Lenny's a young guy. We're 27, 28, but I also know younger people that are 21, 22, and I can tell you they want to vote for candidates. They want to vote for politicians who they can relate to. And when you are on Facebook and Twitter and you're answering questions and you're talking about the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks or the Chicago Cubs, or you're talking about all the stuff that you're into that makes you look like not just this politician machine, but like a normal human being who people can relate to, trust me, it equals voters.
Well, you know what, and that may be the case. If that's the case, that's an added bonus. I didn't start this approach as a way of picking up votes. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I've realized after all these years, that you know, I happen to be in the right place at the right time. But, you know, this is going back, oh, gosh, a whole lot of years now where I had a blog and I would write on almost a daily basis, you know, long-form stories on my blog taking on various issues. Before I knew it, it became one of the most widely read political blogs in the country done by a legislator. And that kind of spun into the Facebook stuff and then the Twitter stuff. And, you know, I think people have to understand the political landscape is changing. You know, I think it's more effective for me to communicate with voters via Twitter and Facebook than a direct mail piece.
Right.
And it's a hell of a lot cheaper. And listen, you know what, if I tweet something and put it on Facebook, you know, that may get retweeted or, you know, sent and forwarded to people's friends. You know, I guarantee you that there's nobody taking a direct mail piece and putting it in the mail and mailing it to their neighbor, saying, hey, take a look at this. So
that's,
you know,
right.
it's the whole landscape of how you interact with voters and how you kind of give voters, you know, a window into your world. And, Matt, I think you're right. People do appreciate that. I hope, you know, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, you know, I hope I've raised the bar for other elected officials, or if not raised the bar, at least kind of shown them the way a little bit to say, you know what, it's not a dangerous thing to do to let your guard down.
Well,
it's not going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, I hope you've raised it for other officials, but I think you've risen to the bar for the common person who wants, like, a lot of our politicians hide from us. You can't find them. You call the offices and you never get a hold of them, and the people there give you the runaround. And this, you're a guy that will actually talk to the people and listen to everybody. I think that's great. But speaking of Facebook and Twitter, and I'm sure your other politician friends are like, John, why are you on that? And I'm sure part of it now is because of what's going on with this Anthony Weiner situation. And what's your take on that, John?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to send a photo of myself right now. Funny you would ask. No, just kidding. You know, I think that, you know, There's a difference between, and, you know, this is a quote that'll probably come back to haunt me one day. You know, but there's a difference between, you know, letting your guard down and being stupid.
Yeah.
You know, he had, from my understanding, a very good following on Twitter before all of this.
Yeah.
He had a lapse in judgment, and you've got to realize these days that, you know, a public lapse in judgment is going to be very public, and it's going to be instantaneous, and it's going to be newsworthy. And in the case of Representative Wiener, you know, probably career-ending.
Yeah, what Lenny and I were saying. Arnold Schwarzenegger's got to be breathing a sigh of relief. All his stuff went to nothing as soon as Anthony's stuff came out.
Yeah, you know, and there's not a question about it. And I'm not going to take away from the lack of judgment that he showed. You know, but what does it show you that, you know, the former governor of California has a child with his housekeeper and keeps it secret.
Yeah.
Yet that scandal has really paled in comparison to a guy that sent a photograph of himself to somebody that he never met.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And, I mean, it's also a shame, too, if you're a Democrat, because Anthony Weiner's politics were very solid, and this was a guy that I think was doing a really good job in New York. It's rough. It's rough.
I don't disagree with that, and maybe, you know, they could argue for why he should have shown that much more caution. But yeah. I think that, you know, there's been more than enough examples to prove that, you know, dumb online decisions and dumb personal decisions, you know, are not the property of either party. There's some bipartisan stupidity going on.
Yeah, you would also being friends with the Clintons, like his family is. You think you just not try to get Bill in any more trouble.
Well, I think that's it. You got to say, you know what? If there's anybody that you wouldn't want your wife going to discuss the question of infidelity, it's Hillary Clinton.
Oh, man.
Your wife's not getting advice from somebody that's going to be on your side on this one.
I just imagine Hillary walking up to Bill, and Bill's playing Angry Birds on the couch, and Hillary's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Speaking of that, I know Commissioner Fritchie is a big fan of the iPhone, and I think you have an iPad too, right?
I do. I've turned into a walking Apple store.
Me
too. I'm sitting here right now chatting with you guys on my iPhone, looking at newspaper stories on the iPad, and BSing with Matt on my MacBook on Facebook.
And I remember his Facebook post when he was outside the Apple store. I think it was on Michigan Avenue waiting in line when the other iPhone came out. So I'm pretty sure you were there for that. But how often do you play Angry Birds?
I'm gonna tell you what. It's a good question. I was addicted to it on my iPhone. I think half the reason I got my iPad was so I could play Angry Birds on a bigger screen. But the problem is, you can't, as I told somebody at the time, I said, I just bought a $700 Angry Bird game module. But the problem I had with Angry Birds was the accounts don't sync up. So I had to start from scratch again.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No. Stars at every level.
So these were my big dilemmas. So then I had my daughter kind of turning me on to other games now, too. So I've moved on to Fruit Ninja in the meantime.
Well, what's the new game, John? What's the thing I should download?
Fruit Ninja is the latest thing I've been playing.
I'm going to download.
This is what happens when I need to turn my brain off every now and then. I'll just scour for some good mindless video games.
Well, I hope you have that Angry Birds Rio, though, John, because the graphics on that are better than the other ones, too. It's great. I love the Rio. And then the new levels come out 3 months.
I want them to come out with an Angry Birds Illinois that just has different political characters instead of the little birds.
Oh, jeez. I think we have an idea there.
Yeah. Madigan's face would look pretty good on a bird.
There you go. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people that would like to shoot a lot of us around.
Hey, I don't mean to cut you guys short, but I got to run back inside and study and prep for class tonight, so I'm going to cut out. So.
For John, but thank you for joining us. Yeah.
No, listen, it was an absolute treat. Lenny, let me know when we're going to get together.
Absolutely. I'll let you know. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Yeah, Len, let us know.
Not you, man. I don't like you.
Uh-oh.
Commissioner John, I do. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right, take care.
What a great friend. I'm not even included on drinks.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm willing to be nice to him when he's not on the line with us. So Lenny, Lenny's a great example of the type of person that I may not have met but for politics. And he's a good guy with a great future ahead of him. And honestly, I've gotten to meet so many people from so many walks of life that I never would have met but for public service.
Yeah.
And, when people talk to me about, what I like and don't like about the job, I think that's probably one of my favorite things is the people that I've had an opportunity to meet, the issues that I've had a chance to learn about that I never would have dealt with, but for being in public service. But then on the flip side, as I told people, when I first ran, I trusted everybody unless I had a reason not to. And I think I had a much more kind of innocent view of life. And, this job and the nature of the job, it forces you to be, I think a little more cynical and, it wears down on you sometimes.
Now what's going to happen, John, I know being a politician in some aspects is like a baseball player where you can't worry about anything ahead of today's game, but are there higher aspirations for you in governor? Like mayor?
I'll tell you, and it's flattering. At one time or another, I've probably been rumored to be running for, every office under the sun.
Yep.
And I never went into this, for better or worse, with a plan of, I'm going to run for this, then I'm going to run for that, et cetera, et cetera. The office that I ran for, I ran, as you know, for Congress in 2009, and that was for the special election to fill Rahm Emanuel's seat when he went to go become the president's chief of staff. And that was a unique situation. It was an opportunity to potentially serve in Congress under a president that I started politics with. Barack and I both ran in 96 together for the legislature. And it was a seven-week special election, which is very different than a year-long race for that office. I thought it was a fascinating experience. I'm glad that I did it. In hindsight, I may be somewhat relieved, to finish second in a 12-person field because I'm comfortable. I'm more than comfortable with where I wound up. And it's interesting because you can't plan these things, Matt.
No.
I never in my wildest dreams envisioned going to the Cook County Board. And it was actually Mike Quigley who won that congressional race who had talked to me about running for the Cook County Board, and I was like, not a chance. And then I started thinking about it, and with Mike going to Congress and Forrest Claypool, who was my predecessor on the county board, leaving the county board, it created an opening. I said, there was a void there for another voice of reform and leadership. It brought me closer to home and my daughter. And it also had, the impact of saying, here, it was going to be a new day at Cook County. We were going to have a new county board president. There were going to be some opportunities to do a lot of good things. And after 14 years in Springfield, I loved the job. People that know me know that I loved being a legislator. I loved the floor debate. I loved the people, as I told you about. But this at that point, the only thing I really wanted to do at the time, if there was an ambition, I thought it would just be phenomenal to be Speaker of the House. I'm not going to kid about that. I think it would just be a fantastic experience. But at the same time, I did not see Speaker Madigan making any plans to leave in the very near future. I actually had discussions with him about it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to forgo any opportunities because I was going to wait on somebody else's schedule. And I'm not saying that I could have become the next Speaker. I would have tried to pursue it.
Yep.
On a going forward basis, we look and it's one of those situations that just created itself. When Mayor Daley announced his, that he wasn't going to run again, I had a number of people contact me about running for mayor. And there is a job, as I said publicly at the time, I think it would be an honor and a privilege. Could be one of the most fascinating jobs in the country.
Yeah.
Mayor of the city of Chicago.
Especially.
But I looked at I looked at it. I had a lot going on in my life, personally and professionally, and the time commitment to even try to take something like that on, it's just, these things have to happen. you know, it has to be the right opportunity, but also at the right time.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it simply wasn't. I don't have any regrets. But, you know, other than that, you know, I try to take the job a day at a time. You can't always be looking forward. You know, right now, it's great to serve with President Preckwinkle at the county board and my colleagues there. I think we've already started doing some good things at the county level. We are, you know, we've already taken the steps and passed the ordinance to roll back the Strozier sales tax. We are working on some other reform measures. I passed an open government ordinance, which was historic, and will put us at the forefront nationally in making county data accessible to the public and to developers to create various applications that could be used to make life easier and to make interaction with government an easier process. So I'm excited about that. You know, I've only been there for 7 months, but I think we've done some great things already, and I'm looking forward to what I can do over the next few years.
Yeah, and what charity work are you involved with, Jen, if you don't mind me asking?
No, not at all. You know, and it's interesting because I think there's a certain element of my job that, you know, it keeps you involved with various organizations to one extent or another, but your involvement kind of tends to be, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah.
Because you can get kind of involved with a number of different groups, either helping them legislatively, helping them get the word out, helping them with outreach, helping them maybe try to raise funds or obtain funds. But you really don't have a lot of time to, you know, to dive into any one charity as much as you would like. You know, I've done some work over the years. I've been on the board of Chicago Gateway Green, and they do a lot of the beautification projects along the expressway that you'll see to try to, you know, spruce up the city and also be environmentally friendly at the same time. Yeah, I've had the opportunity to be out and do a little bit of work with the folks in Misericordia, who really are doing God's work out there for folks with developmental disabilities.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get to cross, you know, a lot of different groups and a lot of different lives. And, again, yeah, that's a nice aspect of the job.
And that's fantastic that you do that. And I know with your job, you're stepping into many charitable things, and that's good. And I have a couple, two baby questions for you, and then I need to ask you about something, because I had a conversation with some young people the other day, and I have a question for you. But I do want to know, what is your favorite bar, and what is your favorite restaurant in Chicago?
Wow, interesting. And you know what? I just don't know that there's a way that you can narrow it down.
Maybe not the best, but where do you feel you go to most often? It doesn't have to be the 5-star one, but like
no, here, yo, man, look at me. I'm not a 5-star guy.
No.
But one of the great things about Chicago is you've got such a wide variety of stuff. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, I may go down to the Three Happiness Diner down in Chinatown. You know, not the big fancy one on the corner, but the little one that looks like a coffee shop across the street.
Oh, the best dim sum in town. Oh.
So go over there. I got a couple great spots in my neighborhood. I got Gaslight over on Montana and Racine, and the same folks own a restaurant bar right across from my office on Southport called The Crossing. And I'm there a lot because, you know what, it's convenient. They're nice folks, good food. And as far as, you know, going out for a cocktail or
Do they also own what's the new place in Old Town? Benchmark that we go to all the time.
Those are the same guys. They own Benchmark, Schoolyard, Kirkwood.
It's great too.
Brownstone, West End down near the United Center.
Oh yeah.
And you know what? I call them for a paid endorsement now. they own a lot of good establishments. And what I like about them is, you know, they've got good food. They can get a family crowd in the early evening or a different kind of crowd later on in the night. And they're also good corporate neighbors. You know, they exist very well within the neighborhoods they find themselves in. They're responsible. And so, you know, all in all, yeah, that makes for a nice establishment. But, you know, I mean, I love, you know, if I want something a little nicer, there's a place called Soka up on the 3400 block in Clark. A buddy of mine is a chef over there. And, you know, they serve great food. But, I mean, there's so many good spots. You know, I've been going lately to Salatino's on Racine.
Have you gone to Doughboys yet next door?
I haven't gotten over to Doughboys. I've heard great things about it.
It's great, John. It's the closest thing to New York pie you're going to get in Chicago. And Scott Harris does a great job with those places.
Well, you know what? Scott's doing a lot of stuff down there, and he's partnering up with Jimmy Banos from Heaven on Seven on some of these projects. And, you know, Little Italy is not an area that needed to be revived.
No.
But they're putting a lot of new breath into it, though, nevertheless.
Well, if there's one thing Chicago doesn't need work on, it's food and beverages.
That is for sure.
We're good there. We're the best in the nation because I'm out in L.A. months out of the year, and you can't get a good piece of beef in L.A. to save your life. And
you can't get something to eat late night out there either.
No, except In-N-Out Burger. That's it. Now, John, I hate to bring the mood down to end it, but I did want to bring up, I have a friend who just ended up going into rehab, and I had a big conversation with people yesterday. And, you know, I have a bunch of friends that really want to see medical marijuana get pushed through in Illinois. And my concern with it is, though, I have these friends that want that pushed through, but they don't have any medical problems. And I used to be a drug user myself, and I've recovered, and I've done what I've needed to do to be where I am today. But I'm kind of concerned on which way I should be thinking about this, because on one hand, medical marijuana passes through and it helps all the sick people and all the people that are in need and everything. And then on the other hand, it's like in L.A., it's like in California, where you could go to any doctor, buy a medical marijuana card for $110, and everyone's going to be smoking weed. And I even struggle with personally myself sometimes wondering if even weed is part of the reason that I ended up doing other drugs and drinking a lot and ended up in the bad spot I was at when I was at that spot. And I'm kind of wondering your personal views on that.
Well, you know, I think you're looking at a couple of different issues here. You know, when it comes down to medical marijuana, I was one of the chief sponsors of the bill.
Yeah.
I've been a strong proponent of it because I've talked to and heard the stories from too many people that aren't looking for a easy way to get high. This may be their only way to get relief from pain. It may be their only way to get an appetite. You know, they want it for, you know, their grandfather who's suffering. And I think that there is a clear and proven, in my mind, effectiveness for medical marijuana being used in that context. Now, that being said, it would need to be appropriately regulated and monitored and enforced. And so, as you said, you know, California and I think Colorado, you know, they kind of made it tough on everybody else because, you know, they really treat it with a wink and a nod out there.
Yep.
And, you know, if that's what you're going to do, then do that. Say that we've got some kind of decriminalization effort going on, but don't say that it's a strictly enforced medical marijuana project because you're making it tougher for other states that want to do that. Now, to go back on the other side of that, you know, I'm also a proponent of looking at a way to decriminalize marijuana. You know, and I'm talking about personal quantities. I'm not talking about people that are trying to sell it, et cetera. I think that we spend so much money in a failed deterrent effort, so much money in locking people up for what are really petty offenses, and taking people and maybe turning them into criminals when they weren't. And candidly, I've talked to a number of folks in the police department that really share that same view, and they've told me that, you know, if they catch somebody that has a, you know, small amount on them, a lot of times they'll let it go. Now, if it's a bad guy that they're looking for some way to bring him in, you know, they'll use it for that. But if it just happened to be some ancillary thing, you know, they realize that this isn't what we need to be taking up the time and resources of police and taxpayers to be chasing after. So, you know, why not figure out a smarter way to do this and maybe even look at, you know, if people aren't comfortable with fully decriminalizing it, you know, alternative sentencing. You don't actually need to try to throw somebody behind bars, make them go through either, you know, an education program, a treatment program, whatever it may be. As far as marijuana being a gateway drug, listen, you know, I've seen the reports and the studies on both sides. You and I probably both know people that have used marijuana and never moved on to other things.
Yep.
You and I probably both know people that have been on many harder drugs without ever having used marijuana.
Yes. Yes, it's true.
So, you know, it's something that cuts both ways.
No,
but I think, you know, we need to have a rational policy, though.
No, and I agree. And I do think, too, John, and the more and more I think about it, I'm totally on your side about it. But it's because now what's happening, too, is if you don't decriminalize marijuana, what's going to happen is they're going to keep putting out these quote-unquote legal drugs. And now that legal, you know, incense that people smoke, and there's those legal bath salts that people smoke, and, you know, I mean, they snort them, I think, the bath salts. And these are causing depression in people, suicide, murder. I mean, there's already been studies shown. And then what was before that was the salvia. And it was they're always going to come up with stuff that is federal that they could get by the feds to sell. And people are going to keep doing that instead of smoking. I mean, I guess I'd rather have them smoke weed than do bath salts.
Yeah, you know, there's something to be said for that. You know, if you look at it chemically, you know, you're dealing with far many more chemicals in tobacco than you are in marijuana. You know, when you look, when people talk about the impact and the cost to society, the impact and cost to society and to families and on are far more staggering from alcohol abuse than from marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, you got to remember, when you go back a couple hundred years, you know, a lot of the issues and the demonization that they had at the time. Hold on one second. I hate to do this to you.
Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
Hey, I'm so sorry. Oh, here, give me 2 minutes.
No, no,
you know, you're getting the real life version of me. I got a guy here to fix my HVAC. So what I was saying, though, is, you know, this, when you go back in time, you know, you actually, you know, had, you know, hemp and marijuana byproducts that were being demonized by the cotton farmers because they saw this as a threat to the cotton industry, which was, you know, big business back then. And so that's where I think, you know, a lot of the kind of stigma around it came from. Then you try to make the facts kind of, you know, fit the conclusion that you want to reach. But you know, other than that, it's very tough to justify our policies on marijuana when you look at how we handle, you know, alcohol and tobacco.
No, and I agree.
Whether you talk about health problems, social problems, you know, whatever it may be.
No, I agree. And I know you're a busy guy. You got someone there. Is there anything you want to plug before I let you go? And by the way, I'd love to continue this conversation at some other point in time because on the drug front alone, because I know a lot of younger people, John, and it's very prevalent in the suburbs. It's very prevalent, and I think there's a lot to talk about it, to be honest. I don't know if it's decriminalizing. I don't know if it's, you know, more regulations. I don't know, but it's a fascinating conversation.
Oh no, I definitely think it is, and I'd be happy to continue it. You know, it's interesting how the conversation has changed, as you know, the locales where the problems have changed. So, for example, you know, when there was a significant crack problem, you know, most of the country didn't care, because it was affecting primarily urban areas and primarily minorities.
Yep.
But then all of a sudden, when you saw what happened with crystal meth, it got everybody's attention because this was coming in not only into suburbs, but it was going into rural America, and you know it was tearing towns up. So all of a sudden, they started taking a problem like that seriously. And you know you've seen those kind of disparities in treatment, you know, time and time again. Whether it the whole issue between sentencing on cocaine charges as opposed to crack charges. And the disproportionality there, or whether it's you know, the treatment, like I said, of you know of crystal meth as opposed to crack or other drugs, you know our policies have really been oftentimes more of a function of politics than of science.
No, I understand. And John, I just want to thank you so much for being on. This was truly an honor for me. I mean, not every interview done. This is my favorite.
If I knew you were going to be so nice to me, I would have done it earlier.
No, John. Yeah. No, I have always supported your politics. Lenny speaks the world of you. Julia speaks the world of you. I have a lot of friends that love you to death, and I think you're doing a great job for our city. I think you're doing a great job for our party. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Listen, you know what? I really appreciate it because it sounds even like you mean it. But I'll tell you that does mean a lot to me. You know, I take the job personally for better or worse, and it's nice for me to hear that. You know, I'm doing a good job at it. But you know, that being said, you know, let me take my turn now and just you know commend you for putting this program out there. You know, we're in an era now where people can get information from so many different sources, whether it's TV or radio, whether it's online, whether it's podcasts, whatever that may be. But, you know, not as many people want to take time out to say, listen, you know, I'm going to make an effort to educate people about what's going on around them, whether it's the elected officials that represent them, whether it's what's happening in their community. And, you know, so for you being able to take the time out there and bring this message out to folks, I think is great.
No, I really appreciate it. I mean, I never got to explain this to you, but pretty much when I do the interviews on my show, I mean, I bring in even people that work behind the scenes in the entertainment business. And now that we've had you on as a politician, that's great. But I want to kind of educate other people because I kind of feel like for myself, I mean, this is not what I want to do for a living. I have a pilot I want to get made. I'm trying to get myself out there, network some more. So I figured in the meantime, why not give back a little bit, do some comedy. I do stand-up. I do this show. But also to be able to have people that listen into the show go, hey, this person's path was like this. Maybe I could borrow something from that. Or this person had some good thoughts educationally about this. Maybe I could borrow something from that. So hopefully people are getting something out of it. I really appreciate your words, John. You're great.
Well, thanks, buddy. I hope I'm not a career ender for you.
No, you're not a career ender. I'm sure I'll be begging you back to be back on sooner than later. I know you're busy with the Roe and Roper and everything, but it's nice of you to come stop on by here.
Whenever you want me, you got me, Matt.
Oh, John, you're the best. Thank you very much. And, you know, when you guys go out for those drinks, remind Lenny to call me, huh?
I'll do that.
I can't have you guys at Richard's without me. That's awful.
you can't let everybody know our secret hiding place.
No, right. Never. Oh, did Lenny tell you about the $14 Johnny Walker Blue we found?
No.
$14?
Where was this at?
He's going to kill me. Angels and Kings. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
Seriously.
Rock Hotel, $14 a
really?
Glass, and they fill it up. Oh, yeah. I don't know what the deal is. Yeah, we were in
that. That's going to be a money loser for them when he walks in the door.
Well, it was. Him and I went through the bottle in the first hour and a half.
Did you guys really?
Yeah, and they sell the bottles for $300. I'm like, we just drank this bottle for like $80. So there's another secret for you. Maybe I'll deter everyone off Richards by going there.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right,
buddy. So much. You have a good one, okay?
You too.
All right. Best of luck. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right. That was the John Fritchie interview, Commissioner of Cook County. I'm here with Alain Cannata to my left and sitting across from me, Pat DeStefano.
And we ordered the Lou Malnati's pizza, so that should be coming soon.
Yeah, we do have the Lou's on the way.
But let's start by saying, isn't John good people?
The best.
I mean, these are the type of elected officials we really should have out there.
Absolutely.
Really
absolutely. He's a guy that is not all talk. He does a lot every day.
Absolutely.
Every day.
And he's a good friend, too.
Yeah, so. No.
He's normal.
Yeah.
He's normal. You can relate
unlike
to these
kind
of people.
Well, that's what we talked about in the interview. He's relatable. You could talk to him on Facebook, Twitter, on the streets, whatever. He'll talk to you. He'll take his time out of his day to respond to you. And you're lucky you get that out of any politician.
Right. You know, so I appreciate that stuff. I wonder how Pat's – how do you get so close to the microphone, Pat, with that big schnoz on?
That Italian nose.
Because you got the little barrier. I rest my nose on it.
He rests his nose on it.
Yeah, you know – foot rest, you know, nose rest.
Now we know Pat's a Republican, even though he knows
nothing
about it.
I'm in the middle.
You and I, Len, correct me if I'm wrong, we're shopping on Black Wednesday downtown for Christmas.
Black Friday,
whatever the hell it is. I don't know what the black stuff. Okay, with the Wednesdays and the Fridays, that's all. The Wednesdays
black
and the Fridays.
Black Wednesday is the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay, whatever. So anyways,
black
we're
Friday's
shopping for Christmas.
After Thanksgiving.
And what book did we see? It was Glenn Beck or something.
Oh,
you're telling me what a Republican you are. Yeah.
I said I'm in the middle.
No, you're not in the middle. Now you're in the middle. What is this? When did this happen? After the GOP debate the other day?
Yeah, because you've seen how unsuccessful.
Because, by the way, Obama's going to railroad whoever gets the GOP nomination.
You know what?
I'm all for Ron Paul in the election.
Oh, that is horrible.
You know he's a racist, right?
Yeah,
give it a couple months before that comes out.
Oh, it will. There's already stuff out. His emails. He has Ron Paul had personal emails that came out that he sent out with black jokes.
You know what? But let's talk about. Now we're actually talking politics.
But you know what? I do want to say before we keep going with politics, we were talking about Rahm Emanuel earlier. We got to congratulate him on the victory.
Yeah, he's a new mayor of Chicago. I mean, I'm a daily supporter. Just
but you know what? He's
based
great
on the old name.
He should be great for the city. New blood in there.
Well, let's get back to the GOP presidential debate. I was very happy with it because if this is what the field is coming to, the Democrats shouldn't have a problem at all.
No, I think they're going to win hands down in the election.
You know what? They got to. The Republicans really have to get away from these social issues. You can't play these social issues and appeal to people in urban areas.
You know what, though, Lenny? Both sides have to start agreeing on stuff.
Hey, listen,
too far apart. One waits for the other one.
Can I read you one of Ron Paul's racist newsletters he sent out?
Oh, please.
Okay. Opinion polls consistently show that only about 5% of blacks have sensible political opinions, i.e. support the free market, individual liberty, and the end of welfare and affirmative action. Given the inefficiencies of what D.C. laughingly calls the criminal justice system, I think we can safely assume that 95% of the black males in the city are semi-criminal or entirely criminal.
This is
Ron Paul sending out a newsletter.
Quote the source. Who said that?
This is a Ron Paul email. This is from...
it's from Ron Paul.
Okay, well, this is from your favorite city. This is on WCBHNewsDetroit.com. This is a news station in Detroit, and it's all over. You can find it anywhere. It's in the Atlantic. It's all over. So you're Ron Paul, pal.
I'm just saying, out of the candidates out there, it's new blood.
Michelle Bachmann, the next Sarah Palin?
Michelle Bachmann actually sounded more put together than Sarah Palin at the GOP debate. However, that being said, if they're hoping she's going to lead the way, they're in a lot of trouble.
They're not very much into facts.
No.
No.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I don't have a problem with Brock.
Listen, as far as it's Mr. President to you, Patrick.
Mr. President. I don't have a problem with Mr. President.
One of the biggest letdowns I've had with President Obama has really been...
Unemployment rate?
No.
The spending?
No.
$14.6 trillion?
Yeah, okay, pal.
No, it's not bad.
Listen,
the stimulus I
was a supporter of, I wish my biggest upset was I wish more of it went to hard infrastructure projects.
True.
Rebuilding the roads, water infrastructure, power
infrastructure.
Infrastructure. I cannot drive that home enough.
No, right.
That's what the country was. It was
well.
It was made
but
of.
Here's the problem. It's not that Obama doesn't want to do infrastructure.
Right.
His hands are friggin' tied right now.
He has a full plate.
But that's going all. This is.
I
all,
don't envy
this
him.
This is going back to the Clinton administration.
Oh no.
Right
here
or wrong.
Here we go.
The subprime loans, I think it was, where he signed.
Yeah, and that was all deregulation.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But you know what? Bush didn't cut it out. Either.
Deregulation got worse when Bush came around.
Yeah.
Clinton did not deregulate as much as George Bush.
Clinton rode the largest economical boom in the history of the country, the internet.
Oh, he rode it?
He rode it.
That's what he did? He rode it.
He rode it like
nothing,
a horse.
He had nothing to do with it.
He rode that into the sunshine.
It was charismatic, too.
Well, you really sound like a moderate, Pat.
Yeah.
You really do. You really sound right down the middle here.
Well, it's because he listens to his friends, you know, who have never read a newspaper in their lives. So, yeah, it fits the Republican Party fairly well.
Well, that's the problem.
Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of Republicans, and I like them
a difference between conservatives and Republicans,
right,
though. Republicans can't read.
And you are not a social conservative by any means of the imagination, Pat.
Really?
You're not at all.
Okay.
Are you really against gay marriage? I'm proud with the whole civil union thing that passed. And what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
I'm very proud. Finally, Illinois.
Yeah,
land of fucking.
How about
Lincoln.
This?
You know what? That's only going to bring money.
I got something good for you. Obama's going to lose.
Fuck.
And you know what? If the economy is over 9% unemployment,
here we go.
Obama loses.
No, that's not going to happen.
How do you not?
Pat, I will make a $200 bet with you
right here on the show that
Obama wins, it's a landslide.
Yeah.
9%?
It is Clinton versus Dole all over.
You know what
again.
The sad thing is? How many months out? Are we eight? No, we're less than 18 months out from the general. But we're only...
We're a year and three, 4 months away.
Yeah, and the New Hampshire primaries are they this year or the Iowa caucus? I don't even remember, but...
They did the GOP debate in New Hampshire.
Primaries are heating up. Primaries are heating up. So there'll be more of that. We'll get into more topics.
Here we go.
No, seriously.
I'll let him talk.
If unemployment is over 9%, you really think he's going to win the election?
Yeah,
how do you win?
Absolutely.
How do you win?
What do you mean, how do you win?
After spending all that money. No one employed.
Okay, Pat, let me
ask. He has an outstanding campaign structure.
But let me ask Pat a better question. How are you going to fix it, Pat? Who's going to come in and fix that?
Right.
What's their plan? Tell me what the plan is.
Trickle-down economics, because
yeah.
that works so
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah, Reagan.
Works
yeah,
so
that worked
well.
Real great.
Works so well.
You know what? Something has changed, though. What's going on now
I'm not
working.
Asking you to
it's
critique.
It's getting worse.
I'm not asking you to critique the current situation. I am asking you to say what you will
Can
do.
I tell you what Bill Tim said? Because I think Pat is feeding Bill Tim lines here. I know you guys are just waiting for a comment from me. You fucking liberals are in for a big surprise when the next election comes around. What you assholes have going against you is that you don't believe in God, which is why you fucking idiot prez will lose. It is wrong. Is it wrong for a Christian to say fuck? The next election will be a replay of 1980.
No, we're not as much liberal. We got to get away from this.
Now that's funny though. It's gonna be a replay in 1980.
Yeah, okay. We need to get away from liberal conservative who's that?
Who do you got?
Who is that though?
It's my Uncle Bill.
Okay.
Who do
well,
you got?
Uncle Bill, the Republicans really have to get away from the religious right.
The only person they have is Mitt Romney, and a Mormon will never be president of this country.
You know
in
what
my
they
lifetime.
Said that about black men as well though.
No.
And I'm very happy it happened.
No, there's definitely, I think.
You can't say glass ceiling. Glass ceiling's
I hear
Mormon,
you,
right?
But I think there's definitely more prejudice against Mormon than black people now.
Oh, probably. You know what? I don't want religion.
And there's more black people in the country than Mormons.
Listen, I am a God-believing man. I am a devout Catholic.
Good for you.
But I do not want.
He's
a devout
Catholic.
You like, my politics are not determined by my religion.
You correct. You like
separation of
church
and state.
I completely agree. Now, you like Barack Obama,
here
correct?
We go.
Right. All right.
Now, who would you rather have, him or Hillary Clinton?
Oh,
I was a Hillary fan.
Yeah, I was a Hillary guy.
You
too.
Were on the Hillary bandwagon.
I voted.
You know why?
Why?
Because I like Bill Clinton.
I'm a Hillary guy, too.
Clinton was good.
But
yeah,
you know what? Another
old
no, another old
no, wait,
so
Lenny, didn't we have the same opinion, though, if Hillary won, really, Bill's running the country?
Yeah, right. And, but you know what? They're all
it's
involved
like it with
now.
The Miami Heat. Pat Riley was running the team.
Yeah, how'd that go for him?
Oh, thank God they lost.
No,
thank
it's like
God
the Cubs.
They lost.
Spend all that money and you got nothing to show for.
Another,
just like the Cubs.
Oh, Mr. Sox fan.
Here's Bill Timm's. Here's who he wants to run. Here's who he thinks going to win.
Okay.
Perry and Bachman.
Okay. Bachman is vice president, you mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, did you like Trump?
You know what?
Well,
I put
Trump
the further thing
yeah.
to rest because I was sick of arguing.
Yeah. But did you?
And I'm sure the president was sick of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, because how much does those stupid stories distract from the actual business of running the government, the actual policy initiatives? When you got someone like Donald Trump who has access, has a forum to come up with this stuff and really railroad. We're getting a little too much into politics here on the Matt Aaron Show. So,
hey,
you know what?
You know what? I think it's great to hear young people talk about politics.
It is. Well, but you know what? Let's get off the topic.
Yeah,
let's talk
Caesar's
about someone.
Caesar's giving us a look. You're not a fan of politics?
No, we're not getting a look from Caesar.
Hey, all right. Well, should I talk about Caesar
booking
Paris Hilton instead?
No, you know what? Let's talk about something we all enjoy. Las Vegas.
No, I want to hit this GOP debate before we did that.
The GOP debate.
Who do they got?
I was not impressed with that field.
It was kind of comic.
And you know what? I was listening to something on WBBM when they were addressing who said something about if you can Google a government program, we know Colbert did a thing on
yeah.
it. If you could Google a government program, it shouldn't be a government program anymore. So Colbert did this whole thing. It was pretty funny. Look up the Colbert clip on it. It was pretty funny. It's like basically buying black market Plavix from
Look
Canada.
At how happy he is talking about this. Look at the smile.
You know what? You
we
know
enjoy
what?
It.
Yeah, when you guys bow down to my wants of talking politics, because I could talk this for
and
hours.
And you know, if my ego can talk for a moment, I thought that was the best interview
Look
John
at him.
Richie's done.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you interviewed him great, though.
I think he was
you good. You did a great job yourself.
He's great, isn't he?
Oh, he is.
And you
really
know what?
Nice really
and
nice
you know what? We got to support Rahm Emanuel, too, because best of luck. We got some things to do.
You know what? The city's in a big deficit right now. He'll help us get out of it.
The city, the state. We're $8 billion
well, I'm
in
talking,
debt a year.
What Rahm Emanuel, what are we, $500 million in debt? With the city line?
I'm not even
600
sure
million,
what the deficit
give or take?
On the city is probably up.
But
I think
you know,
it might be higher.
Billion.
Don't quote me on that.
Is it 13 million
the,
now?
No, the state is 13 billion.
No, the I city, believe. I think it's 500 or 600 million.
The city, it could be. I mean,
you know what, though?
You know what? Tax revenue ain't there. So.
He's off to a good start. You know, taxing on the water now. He's off to a good start.
So basically more to come in a future Matt Aaron show. We'll
$15 billion in debt is what I'm reading.
We'll dedicate 20 minutes of politics in a future show.
It's always a
second most broke state, as Caesar says.
All right, can we veer off topic and we talk about Las Vegas?
Yeah, because if we don't veer off topic, Bill Tim's going to keep sending in.
We were just talking about Vanessa Marcel.
You laugh, but 38% of all new jobs in the U.S. are in Texas. Go ahead and say that on the air.
Okay, that was a little thing that we I read that report. That was on CNN this afternoon as well. I heard that too.
Yeah,
good. And that's because wait, Perry's the governor of Texas, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think. I'm not sure. Perry, isn't he the governor of Texas or former governor?
Google it. Google knows everything.
Google knows everything. He's the governor, Rick Perry.
Yeah, that's why he said Perry Bachman. Now I understand.
Yeah, Perry Bachman. That's
well,
why
maybe
because
everyone's leaving the cold climates for the warmer climates.
Well,
you know what? You know what? There will be a report in a week about how that number's horseshit, by the way.
Oh, yeah. How it was
give it one
something.
Week
right.
before someone gives a report about how that's all horseshit.
That's the amazing thing about numbers. You can
and give it
anyway.
Then a week and a day before Bill Tim says the liberal media is sinking us.
So we're moving on to Las Vegas?
Let's go and talk about Las Vegas.
The show or the city? Because
well,
I only want to talk about the city.
We were just talking about the show. We can talk about the city.
Can't we talk Jimmy Kahn, though? We got to talk Vanessa Marcel.
I called you guys from Vegas.
Look, tell me she's not absolutely beautiful.
She's hot.
Oh, my God.
She's a decent actress.
Drop that gorgeous.
She's on the General Hospital now.
I can't picture what she looks like. Do you have a picture for her to pull up?
Bring
she
up a picture.
Is the
she's, Lenny, she's an angel.
Would you stop? Because that's not what you were saying
no,
before.
No. Our mothers are angels.
Yeah, exactly. You were much filthier than that before.
Oh, I know her. Oh, she's a cute girl.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure.
But let me tell
Caesar,
you something.
Caesar, you done dropping
if you're
shit? What'd
spend,
you do? Are you spilling on my table?
Caesar, can you get her on the show, please? I would talk to her.
Yeah, have Caesar book her. Ask Caesar how many women
you know
he's
what?
Gotten on the show.
I have confidence in him. You know what? I'll bet you again he gets
her
on the show.
He just wants to Zamboni her, too.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can't exactly. lie about wow. that.
So wow. how was your trip to Vegas last time you were there, Lenny? You just came back.
What are you sitting here going wow for, getting all clean all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Did you see her out in Vegas?
No.
Were they filming
Halle
Las
Berry
Vegas out there?
Saw her. Because I was at the Tropicana.
How's she looking?
She's a tiny little thing.
Yeah,
they're all tiny little things. She's cute.
Yeah.
She's a good looking
girl. How was
girl.
The trap?
Yeah. I think I seen Robin Leach, too.
Robin Leach, oh.
Lifestyles of the
yeah,
rich
and
famous,
right.
How was the trap?
It's a gorgeous hotel. They've done amazing things to it. They've completely, they've brought one of the original six into the 21st century. And you know what? It's good to go a place
a beautiful
like the
thing.
Well, it's good to go a place like the Tropicana because let's face it, no one here in this room is a high roller. We're not whales.
Whoa, speak for you.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm not. At least the dealers there, you know, after
that.
A while, they started to know you. The cocktail waitresses knew what you drank. And MGM, you're a nobody here. You're small, so you could become a somebody.
Ooh, it sounds good.
Well, you said know, they remembered you.
I'd rather be the big fish in a small pond than the little fish in a big pond.
I like the Trop, and I can't wait to see what they've done with it. They were working on it last time I was out there.
Oh, and it's the first one off the...
I think we should do a show from the Trop.
I'm all for it.
Get on the phone with the Trop people, huh?
You know what?
Where's Caesar Marconi? Get off the phone with Vanessa Marcel.
No.
And get on the phone with the Trop, would you?
She's first priority of business. Then we'll go to the Trop.
First priority for you, pal.
You know what?
What am I going to ask
Vanessa
Marcel?
Here's the deal we'll make with Caesar.
What are you not going to ask her?
That's true.
Here's the deal we'll make with Caesar. If you book,
you know, if you're
Vanessa
listening
Marcel,
now, Vanessa, I'd love to see you on here.
Or some other semi-popular,
hot
somewhat
chick.
Attractive girl.
Yeah.
I'll take you to dinner at Gibson.
Whoa!
And you can order off the menu, and I will even allow you to order a shot of Louis XIII. But I will be a judge of this girl, because if you just pull some
that's
random
fair.
One.
That sounds fair to me, Pat. You?
I agree. I like
that's
it.
That's fair.
I like it.
Well, we're waiting for Paulie.
On Sunday
Katia
when it's 40%
it.
Off.
We're waiting for Paul... That's let's talk about our next guest. We're waiting for Paulie Casilla to come in. Oh, you know what, Caesar? You can't eat like Mikey Turzo if you had another stomach.
hey, Mikey Turzo is doing better, though, after his back
yeah,
surgery.
Yeah, I talked
so
to him
we have to give him he was all ready to go out and go play.
He went out to Tilted Kilt yesterday.
After
God
my
bless,
back
Mikey.
Surgery, I sat around, but go ahead.
How many wings do you have at the Tilted Kilt, Mikey? Yeah, God man. Bless. We're waiting for Paulie Casilla to call in. He is at not Gary Busey on Twitter, the fake Gary Busey account that's hilarious. Lenny's fucking throwing his hands up in the air like he's never.
You know
heard
what?
Of
I gotta.
Twitter.
I'm on the Twitter, but my friend created a bad.
Who's
page
the
for me.
Friend though? By the by,
Luca.
Luca.
Luca. The same one.
So you
that,
use friend Luca.
The same one that used my name during the Blagojevich trial.
Yeah, so you and Luca, how's that friendship going? Is that a liberal friendship now?
Yeah, it seems like he's using my name and everything. I mean, this kid created a Twitter account, which I finally
Big
got.
Big Len Cannata.
Yeah, which I finally got access to. I haven't used it since I got access to it. So I got to clear it out and redo it.
You know what? I got to read this
I'm
account.
I'm a Facebooker guy.
I got to read
Facebook
this account.
Now, mind you, for full disclosure, nothing that was posted on there was mine.
This is some of the funniest shit. Luca,
the kid literally.
My menthol shaving
wait.
Cream smells like the vinyl couch in the smoking lounge at St. Anthony's.
You know what, Matt, can we got to pause for a second. I got a question for Lenny. Now, what's going on with you and him?
Wait, can I read one more, Pat? Let me read one more. This is too funny. This macaroni necklace my little cousin made makes me taste like garbage. Fuck this Montessori bullshit.
Yeah. Pat thinks we have a secret love affair.
No. How
not.
Long? No. Like,
played,
what's going on with, how long you been friends with him?
Played for? Golf with my old man this morning. On the fourth tee, I accidentally hated his guts since the day I was born.
Freshman year of high school.
Freshman year of high school.
Right. He's playing for the bar now, though.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so he's
as are you. That's kind of weird.
No, I'm not signing for the bar.
Well, you're in law school.
Just completed my first semester. Got a couple.
Congratulations
more.
Again. You did have good grades.
Once again, this is the uneducated masses that we have.
No, we know.
Excuse me.
Now, I know the Len Cannata blowjob show has been going on for about an hour and a half, but I got to tell you, he is the hardest working guy I know.
Who, Lenny?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Law school.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Hey,
he's at work all day, then he goes to law school. I'd like to see you pass one law test.
You know what, Matt's just
we
saying
got
because
thing
he owes me money.
Yeah. he does a lot of work when he reaches for his cigarettes and the Jack Daniels
I think
bottles.
We got my boy calling in. Paulie, you there?
Yes, sir. What's up, man?
Paulie Cassia, how you doing, pal?
I'm all right. Yourself?
Happy to have you, my friend. Have you been listening? It's been very political, unfortunately.
I don't. Politics is like the man's ass. I don't get into it.
Paulie, why don't you explain about your two Twitter accounts, which are you're getting a lot of press for the Not Gary Busey.
Yeah, back in November of 2008, well, it all stemmed from a site that we love called FilmDrunk.com. And
okay.
there was a Gary Busey post about how he's doing some crazy shit Gary Busey does, and a bunch of the commenters, including myself, turned it into like a bizarro Chuck Norris facts, like Gary Busey does this and Gary Busey does that.
Yeah.
So we really ran with it, and it was really funny. So basically that stemmed into Gary Busey, you know, Busey Facts 101. We made a little website and stuff like that. And eventually we got wind of Twitter. Because the guy that runs Film Drunk, he actually does the Nick Nolte, the fake Nick Nolte account.
Right, which is also
which is equally
fun.
Hilarious. So,
yeah.
So four of us from the Film Drunk, that's a girl that runs the Brain Confetti Twitter page, a gentleman by the name of Jackson on Twitter, and a gentleman by the name of JJ from Kansas, all us four created that page. And from then on, you know, we just had our little random Busey facts, but in the first person is Gary Busey, and then after that it just took off.
Well, let me read a couple of your posts from Paulie Pellegrosso.
Alrighty.
Well, this is actually just true. I don't even know if this is funny. I've yet to meet a Corvette owner I like. That's true. That's just true.
Yeah, I'm in the auto shop business, and one of my friends I grew up with in the neighborhood, his dad was a Corvette owner and just a dickhead. And I don't know what it is about the Corvette that brings these douchebags to want to buy them, but every Corvette owner I've known is just like the ultimate dude. It's middle-aged douchebags at its worst all the time. I've yet to meet anybody that owns a Corvette that I could tolerate.
No, here is a great one, too. No one is more accomplished than an ugly pregnant chick. That's true.
Yeah, funny because it's true. You see an ugly fat chick walking by, and you're like, how? That's the first thing you say. Like, how? Good for her. Good for her.
I do feel that way about ugly fat chicks. I don't know how they get lit. Oh, but if any ugly fat chicks are listening to our show, I have nothing.
call us in four beers.
Yeah, he calls in four beers. So what is this account, what have these two accounts, at Not Gary Busey and at Paulie Pellegrosso, done for you? Well, how is this helped you get started in stand-up, which, by the way, I've seen clips of you doing stand-up in Arizona. You're fantastic. Real fucking funny. How has this got you involved?
Well, let me go back to, you know, how we started. The Busey account really started snowballing into something bigger than we all thought it would. And then in, I think in mid-2009, MSNBC.com did a top 10 Twitter accounts and included us at number 6.
Yeah, that's huge.
So from that date, and that's like including Bad Banana and all the good stuff that was at that time, Steven at Home and all that good stuff. And that we got like 10,000 followers that day, you know, it really jumped us and catapulted us into the mainstream of, you know, hey, who's this Not Gary Busey? At that time, we were Gary J. Busey.
Oh, yeah, so, right. I remember that.
Yeah.
And then you had to declare that you were Not Gary Busey.
Like in 2000, I don't mean to stop you, but like in 2010, yeah. That's when I, like, the a lot of people, the other people really stopped their users, their posts really dwindled down, and I really, like, took the wheel and just, like, really got it to where it's at right now.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, just calling out these celebrities really got me into the mainstream, and just the jokes really, I don't really put a whole lot of process into these jokes. They just come out when I think them. So, I mean, those are the best, really.
Now, Paulie, though, what was your reaction when all these celebrities started following you? Why don't you tell some of the celebrities that started following you, and what's your reaction when this happens?
Well, you know, I feel guilty when I see a celebrity following me because I think that they got duped into thinking I'm actually Gary Busey because
they
did the name change.
We're not duped when they're following Paulie Pellegrosso. You got Scott's following you there too.
Yeah, I got a bunch of the Family Guy writers follow me. Alex Bay's SNL writer follows me. Recently,
right?
What's that there?
Seth MacFarlane, right?
Yeah, that was like 2 weeks ago. I saw that, and every time I tweet, I keep going to check to see if I lost his ass because I'm afraid I'm gonna say something offensive.
Yeah,
but
hopefully
it's cool.
You're gonna offend Seth. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see someone, you know, like middle class, blue collar guy,
yep,
out there, you know, with the top writers in Hollywood, you know, just not rubbing elbows, but, you know, on the internet, just fucking doing big jokes and up there considered with them.
We can compare with you, Paulie, because you know who follows Pat and Lenny? Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I'm one.
Oh, now they're awake. Oh.
I'm waiting on a pizza.
I'm waiting on Lou
Malnati. Waiting for food. Wait, who's following us?
Paulie, they're waiting on
no
some
food.
You know what Lou Malnati's is, Paulie?
I do not know what that is.
It's deep dish pizza in Chicago. It's a big deal over here.
If you do come here,
I just ate deep dish yesterday at some place called Rocco's here in town.
Any good?
I think you guys would like it. I mean, you have to eat it. It's pretty fucking thick. I mean, they got some good shit there. They got, you know, calzones and all that good shit. I chomp down on the wings, but I'm all about deep dish pizza.
I like it.
Paulie, where are you from?
I'm from Tucson.
Tucson? Oh, right by the university,
yes,
right?
Yeah, it's a U of A town.
Oh, that's a nice little party town.
Yeah, Pat pretends
to
know a lot about Arizona.
No, I used to go down there. We almost opened up a restaurant in Scottsdale, which is,
sure,
I think that's just
sure
north of there, right?
Sure you did.
It's probably like an hour and a half away from here. That's in Phoenix.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I'm doing a show there Friday, yeah.
Yeah, really nice town, really nice.
So Paulie, I got a question for you then. Now, what's your upcoming goals? What are you working on right now?
Well, I started doing the stand-up at the beginning of the year. I asked some dudes I follow, like Sam Grittner and Rob Delaney. I don't know if you guys follow Rob Delaney, probably the best on Twitter. I asked them for a couple pointers into how I could turn these tweets into actual stand-up.
Yeah.
So now that, you know, I just string a bunch of tweets together with common theme, and then, you know, just hit them with the punchlines. It's almost like a science how you got to approach,
yeah,
you know, joke telling.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm not so much of a joke writer as I am a storyteller, I guess. I guess there's two sides of that coin. And I just saw Lenny's gut, so I'm kind of like dizzy right now. So you hold on a moment.
But yeah, I mean, eventually I want to start doing shows in LA. Eventually pour over into New York, try to hit up some spots there. I'm getting opening spots in, hopefully in LA. And then, you know, so they could see how funny I am, and eventually I want to become a writer like the guys that follow me. So.
Well, you wrote with me. We wrote a pilot.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, I don't know what you think of it, but I really enjoyed it.
That was an experience. That was an experience in itself, because I've never wrote anything like that. So to be a part of something like that, that's, you know.
And I called
pretty awesome.
Because I'm like, you know, this guy's the king of the one-liners. You got to bring him in. You got to bring him in. You're great. You're great. And you did a great job with everything. And we're really proud of that. And, you know, we're trying to get the pilot out there and get developed and hopefully
get
made.
To read it?
You've never read it?
You've never given it to me.
You wouldn't read it if I gave it to you.
Yes,
it's been on your desk for about 4 years.
Maybe.
It's on your desk until the show gets made and you could sell it on eBay.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Gotcha.
Look, Paulie and I, we're starting from the ground floor. We're trying to get somewhere here, for Christ's sake.
When are you coming up to Chicago, Paulie?
Yeah, when are you coming to Chicago, Paulie?
I've never been to Chicago. I'd love to go. I mean, I want to get the real deep dish, and I want to taste the Chicago dog.
Why don't you come in January? It is beautiful here.
No, there's 10 feet of snow on the ground. You want him to come in January?
No, he's in Arizona.
I haven't seen snow. Like, it snows One day a year here, and it's there for an hour, and that's it.
You don't
want to
see snow.
You don't want to see it.
It gets old real fast, pal.
Not all of us are 400 pounds here, Lenny. Not all polar bears here, okay?
You know, for a guy who sells food, he's awfully skinny. Never trust a skinny guy that sells food. Must mean the food.
It's true, like Billy Deck. Oh.
That's your cousin.
Oh, I'm just kidding. We love William Deck over here. He's a skinny guy that sells food.
He is.
Yeah, you guys are all pals, aren't
you? Should make
you?
A trip up here in the summertime.
You guys are all giving each other reach around. You're all pals in the food biz.
You can't be fat and sell food, though. That's like a crackhead working in a crack house.
Hey, Lenny and I could sell food. I don't know if it'd make it to the counter, but we could sell it.
I was on the treadmill twice today.
He was on the treadmill twice. How about that?
Each time for 40 minutes, so.
Paul, you work out at all?
I was, like, like around Thanksgiving, but then Thanksgiving happened. and then, you know, I blamed it on the holidays, took a break, and then I blamed it because I just had a baby like 3 months ago, too.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. So I have to, you know, I have to breastfeed and stuff, so I can't be going to the gym.
Hey, Paulie, what's your views on the Kardashians?
Why? I don't know. I mean, they're famous for no reason, obviously. Well, I mean, it starts off from, you know, it stems from Kim boning Ray J. So she's basically famous for what her dad was famous for, and that's getting off black dudes. Right? I mean, you got Robert Kardashian, their dad, you know, allegedly hiding OJ's knife, because we all know OJ did it. They just flubbed up. And they got all that OJ money.
They had all
got rich.
Her father was a good attorney, though.
But Paulie's joke was...
Yeah, I got it.
She's famous for getting off black dudes. I love that.
I mean, seriously. But then they put themselves in the opportunity to be in the limelight, you know, when Kim Kardashian was hanging around Paris Hilton, who was whoring around too, which basically, famous for being...
I love it. Did you hear the beginning of the show? We were talking about Paris, Paulie.
Yeah. No.
What a whore.
So she won't be on?
No, we won't.
Well, you know, we might interview her about her adult videos or whatever. I don't know what the fuck we would talk to her about.
Yeah, I saw her on Opie and Anthony, and she just seemed like she just really didn't want to be there.
She's soulless.
At all.
Paulie, she has no soul, correct?
No, none whatsoever.
Thank you. Exactly.
And then Like it was like that tweet I said, she was upset that her show premiered at, you know, in different spots. But
yeah.
Yet she's not upset that her eyes point in different directions.
Her show. Her show is one of the lowest rated shows ever. Ever.
I know. Yeah. It's not even worthy to try to watch.
Whoa.
Yeah. We get better ratings than her, Paulie.
Yeah. And they probably got bigger tits too.
Oh no. Every person in this room's got bigger tits than her. That's for sure.
Oh,
thanks.
We're gonna have to have a tit off.
A tit off? Yeah, she'll be out first. I'm like, you know, what have these people contributed to society? The Kardashians, the Paris Hiltons, they're worthless.
They don't act. They don't act. They're not athletic.
No.
Hollywood
hates them. You cannot find an actor or an actress, anyone respectable in Hollywood. Maybe they won't say it publicly, but privately they will tell you they are worthless and they're pissed that they're famous.
And the reason that, you know, they don't say it publicly, that's why they're still famous, because if more people were vocal about it and not worried about what their publicist is going to tell them, then maybe, you know, a lot more of the mainstream people will see, open their eyes, like, they really are worthless. Because you see people, and you see little girls idolizing these older women for nothing. They're just on TV in their face just doing random dumb shit for no reason, nothing intellectual. I mean, I'd like to sit down and see.
We agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the important things, like how worthless some people are.
People say, you know, people will be like, you know, don't be such a hater, and everyone uses that word, hater. I'm a fucking hater. I don't care what anybody says. I hate people. It's healthy to hate people. You can't like everything, or you're just a dickhead if you do. You have to hate something.
People that offer nothing and claim like they offer something.
Yeah.
Like I saw the other day on that Kardashian show, Khloe Kardashian said, I'm not a basketball wife. Lamar is a reality star husband. She, like, reality star, what does that mean?
If my daughter ever said I wanted to be a reality star, I'm fucking throwing her in a dumpster somewhere. Because
you know,
the only real reality show is Cops. I mean, that's probably the best, the realest that you get. Everything else is written, produced, nothing's real about it. Everything's set up to look like it's reality, and they're basically scamming the public because it's not real reality.
Right. Well, let me ask you, it's funny that you said that joke because it reminded me of the Tracy Morgan thing, and I don't want to really – I have nothing – look, there are more important things going on in the world than what Tracy Morgan said. But just for popularity's sake and because the issue's hot, what's your views on what Tracy said?
He has the right – I mean, he's up on stage joking. Everything he says, it's not serious.
Right.
But people – want to get all pissy about anything that anyone ever says, he has the right to go up there and says what he feels. I mean, I don't have a problem with gay dudes. I just have problems with other dicks. That's my thing.
Well, you know,
I don't like other dicks.
You know what my problem is, Paulie? How many of these people that are pissed at Tracy Morgan have ever donated to gay charities or have worked in the gay community at all? Probably none of them.
Yeah, probably none.
Good joke.
But they get up in arms because they want to be the... I don't know if they want to be in the public eye. It's like how people are with how everyone's too happy.
Well, they want to distance themselves from intolerance. They want to feel like that they're not part of the intolerance. But they don't do anything about it. They just like it. It's easy to pounce on somebody who said something intolerant, and they want to distance themselves from it. But they don't do anything to prove they are not intolerant. They don't prove anything that they're worth helping out or that they're doing anything for the community that he was intolerant about. So I just feel bad in a way too, because he seems like a really good guy, and I know people who know him who say he's a great guy and that he really wouldn't have meant anything like this ever. So I mean, it's not a comedy stage. I mean, I'm not defending what he said. What he said was, you know, was it funny? I don't know. Maybe if I was there live and with the context, maybe it would have been, maybe it wouldn't have been. But, you know, it was not a comedy stage. You know, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, they've said a lot of shit about the gay community too, and no one was up in arms then. Not as bad as now. Not as bad as now. Yeah.
And he Eddie, you'll hear Eddie Murphy call them faggots, and now if that word gets thrown out, if you watch old Eddie Murphy stuff, he uses that word. And if that word gets thrown out now, you know, you either in the NBA or you get glad up your ass, and not in a good way.
No, that's absolutely what it is. And I mean, GLAAD has every right to go after Tracy. GLAAD has every right to ask Tracy to help out and you know, get some canumpance, if you will. But, you know, these people that are trying to, I don't want to use the word I was thinking of, but trying to hang him, you know, you know, it's not very fair, I don't think, either.
No, he's getting a raw deal. It's just a bad joke. I mean, if it's not funny, don't laugh. I mean, I
agree. I think a lot of the comedy community agrees with us too.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tracy Morgan. He is like the black Gary Busey. You don't know what the fuck he's going to say anyway.
Right, that's exactly right. I think Chris Rock said that he's just like Gary Busey, and you don't know what the fuck he's going to say, and you just kind of got to deal with it. He's crazy.
Yeah.
A little mentally unstable, and who isn't in this business?
Exactly. You have to be to be in the business.
You know, that's interesting. It'd be nice if I had co-hosts to do the show with me, these fat fucks, these fat, ignorant fucks, fucking eating during my fucking show.
Little food break, sorry.
No, not little food break. We got 30 minutes. Sit your ass down. Paulie's going to join us for those 30 minutes.
Would you like a piece of pizza?
No, I want a fucking piece of pizza. I want you to sit your fucking ass down and do the fucking show. I
figured we offer.
You know what? I'm going to offer you my fist in a second. Sit the fuck down. Bring your pizza over here and eat.
It's not moving from the table.
I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to fucking kill you and your fat friend and your skinny fuck friend who's instigating. Yeah, your Diet Coke. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Calm down. Oh, Lenny's back. He brought his Diet Coke with him. Yeah.
We're back, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Eat on the show. That's... Oh, God, we just lost every listener we had. They heard that noise. It sounded like something else. Paulie doesn't know what just was going on.
I was
something
just...
smacking back there. That's all I know.
And I said, Don Packett's back up.
Oh, you know, that's because that Pat just...
It's like a hockey line change.
Can we talk about Richards on Saturday? Paulie, you don't mind joining us for the rest of the show while we bullshit, do you? You can throw in your comments.
No problem, no problem.
Be funny with us here, or try me. Can we talk about Richard Saturday, though? Can I bring up my little problem I have with Pat DeStefano right now?
Alligator arms?
What's that?
Yeah, one, alligator arms. Two, don't talk to broads. What are now Caesar's still checking out hot chicks. Paulie, if you had a producer and he didn't do his fucking job and just stared at hot chicks all day, what would you do?
He better bring some hot chicks to you.
Yeah, you better
start doing his job.
To us. Thank you. Thank you.
So you can't really fire him since...
All they do is stare at him. And then Caesar claims that these broads don't come on the show because of the content.
Caesar, why are you going after that pizza? That was not ordered for you. That was ordered for the actual hosts on the show.
Wow.
Matt can't have any, though. He's on a diet.
No, Matt's doing a fucking show. Matt can't get up and just go randomly have pie.
You'll break the goddamn chair if you get up and go down again.
You see what I deal with here, Paulie? A bunch of fucking balls.
I need to use that truck in the corner.
Can we talk about Richards here? So, Paulie, I got this friend, Pat, who's sitting in here. He's the owner of Mr. Beef on North Harlem. And Pat, not only does he have alligator arms, I've never seen him pay for anything ever.
Yeah.
He doesn't drink.
He mooches cigarettes. And he doesn't drink. And we bring broads over the other night, and he doesn't say a fucking word. Not
Does
a word.
Just stare at them all creepy and creep them out?
Yes.
No,
yes.
Absolutely not.
Well, one of them said...
Trust me, there's no hiding. And girls know when you're fucking staring at them. They can feel it.
No, say that again, Paulie. Say that again, because I think I talked over you, but that was funny.
Yeah, girls, there's no hiding that. You can't... Girls know when they're staring. Girls know when you're staring. You could wear your sunglasses or whatever. They know that you're staring. But, they like it, but it fucking creeps them out, too.
Yeah, you know,
How about the one broad that thought he had AIDS? Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Joe got it first. Who has AIDS at the table? They pointed at Joe first.
He got it first, but you got it second.
I did a survey, Paulie, out
I'm
at the
better
bar.
I'm the better-looking one at the table. That's why they figured I'd
I asked all the women that would come to our table, out of our group of guys, which one do you think has AIDS?
So you think looking at them creeps them out, Paulie?
So they pointed at the skinny guy?
They did.
They did. They pointed at both skinny guys. Both skinny
guys. There's no way. There's no way. Either there's no, you're too fat to have AIDS or you're too fat to get AIDS.
Hey, that's good, Lenny. No one's going to think we have AIDS because we're fat.
I'm okay with
that.
I
don't know. Magic Johnson's kind of a little tubby. MJ's a little tubby, Magic Johnson. He's a little tubby.
It's that theater butter popcorn, I guess.
Oh, yeah, remember when we went to the theater, Lenny? You destroyed that popcorn.
At the movie Cohen Rosemont, they have like a selection of seven different flavors.
You big ox, that's all I can say.
Seven different flavors
that
you
can
flavor
at?
Your popcorn.
Paulie, do you got flavored popcorn out by you?
Yeah, we go to Harkins. They got like that powdered shit where you can sprinkle it, but then the top of the popcorn tastes like jalapeno cheese, and then the rest of it just tastes like fucking popcorn.
Oh, you got to layer it though.
Paul, you got popcorn out there, right? For all those
that what was there?
The low sodium one for the old people out there, right?
But yeah, the hard candy and the low sodium popcorn.
People on Twitter are saying how unprofessional you two are for eating during the show.
No, I go to Florida a lot, Paulie. They got the low-sodium popcorn down there.
They're saying it's like a college radio station with you two eating pie during the show.
I can't eat.
How many pizzas do you eat, Lenny?
No, you can't fucking eat during the show.
You sure half of the pizza's missing.
Yeah, because after you, Alex, and Caesar got to, of course half's missing. I wouldn't be talking, Pat. You got more gut in front than me, pal.
Oh.
Yeah. That's right. How are those pants fitting? How do you squeeze into that M3 series
with
BMW?
With his beef juice. With
his white BMW, who I've only ever seen women drive.
Is it a 3 series? Oh,
Alex has a white Beamer, too.
What
was
that,
Paulie?
Wait, Paulie. What was that?
Is it a 3 series?
Yeah. No, is it? Yeah, it's the M3. It's the
okay.
Yeah, but it hands you the seatbelt, so you don't really have to bend back. That's a nice benefit.
It's made for the oversized jumbo people like you?
No, it's not.
No,
it's not. The 7 Series is.
Lenny can't fit in your car, Pat.
Oh, it's horrible. You can't fit more than one person in his car.
No.
It's like a smart car.
Well, you know, Pat told me he got that car for broads. How many have you seen in there?
Hasn't worked.
I see Lenny in there all the time.
we got no... No girls really hang out with us, so it's pretty much me and him sharing hotel rooms, sleeping in the boat together. This kind of reminds me of a Family Guy.
Yeah,
you know, two
happened.
Guys working late. And,
now
we both go home with the Tribune.
Go home with the Tribune.
Yeah, you go home with the Tribune. Now, Paulie.
So I'm up to date on current events. I have a lot of time to read the Tribune.
Paulie, how are your and your friends like? Are you like crazy like these guys?
Well, we get drunk really fast and hard. I got one friend who has alligator arms. He's the cheapskate. He's always the one complaining about what beer to drink, but won't buy the beer with us.
We got to hook him up with Pat. Pat's the one, I want Peroni. I want this.
Yeah.
I was like, can we get like a keg of like Blue Moon or something? And he wants fucking Bud Light, and Bud Light tastes like fucking high school.
Disgusting.
But he doesn't want to buy the Bud Light. He's like, no one's going to drink the Blue Moon. And I'm like, that's like bringing filet mignon to a cookout. No one's going to fucking think it's fucking gross.
Well,
everyone drinks that.
Everything out of Pat's mouth is filet mignon and Peroni, but you never see him drink it or eat it. Real weird how that works out. High class.
Yeah, and then they'll pull that, you buy one round, I buy the other, and then never buy the other.
Pat's the type of guy that tells you to stay at the Bellagio while he's staying at the Greek Isles.
Still owe me money from that bachelor party, by the way.
The bachelor party.
Oh, the one twice
with
the
cigarettes. All the first of all, the bachelor party. You made me go to a Cubs game. You made me sit on a rooftop. You made me. They only had beer there. They had no hard alcohol, so I drank club soda the entire time.
And you know what the
bartender at this place had the audacity to do?
What?
Lose some weight?
No,
yeah,
I hand. Okay, Pat. I handed her my cup. And I'm like, I have some club soda with a lime. She smelled my cup. I'm like, don't you stick your fucking nose in my cup. That's ignorant. That's unsanitary. I want a new cup. Well, we don't issue new cups. What do you mean you don't issue new plastic cups? Oh,
Paul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, Paulie's here, so it's okay.
So it's okay.
They were having some technical difficulties, I think, which is probably good before I went on my tirade.
Oh, it says we're live.
Well, no. And she stuck her nose in my cup, and I was a little upset by that.
I would be.
She did have a big schnoz.
I'd be upset.
No, and I'm like, what was her purpose in doing that? So, therefore, Pat, I'm not giving you a dime for that bachelor party.
It's fine. I'll eat the money. It's not a big deal.
It's okay. You bum enough cigarettes off me. You get a few cocktails off me. A couple meals, too.
Who hangs out on the boat all the time?
No one else is going to hang out with you.
Who saved you from a DUI?
No one else is going to hang out with you.
Who saved you from a DUI?
What do you mean save me? I wasn't in the car.
Yeah, you were. You were driving on the street. I pulled you out of that car.
Now, here's what really happened. Pat found me in an alley walking to meet him, and then we walked to go eat. And he's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'll happily go sleep in the car. I would have had no problem doing that. No. I'm not like a fool going to drive home and grab a DUI. It's not worth it. The risks aren't worth it anymore. Paul, you ever had a DUI?
I'm like the only one of my friends that doesn't.
Do they make you the designated driver?
Oh, no, not Paulie. Paulie, you don't designate drive.
Well, no. I'm the designated driver because I got the biggest car. So everyone could squeeze into it, shut up the car, you know, tear up my leather, put your feet on the dash. You sicken me. My friends sicken me.
Sometimes. I got designated drive all the time.
You remember that about 4 years ago, me and Pat were driving down, was it Fullerton? No, it wasn't you. It was Nikki in the car with me about 4 years ago. And when Domenica jumped out of a cab.
It was on Fullerton. I just got out of the car.
Was it you?
I was in the car. I got out of the car and her and some other girl got in.
Yeah, I randomly just jumped
out of
the car.
You drove to Elmwood Park on the way home.
Yeah, put the feet on the dash. You know, didn't even take the shoes off. How ignorant is that?
That is ignorant, but that's what happens when you hang out with slutty broods.
Who puts their feet up on the dash?
Yeah, sluts put their feet up on the dish. Dirty fucking sluts. I don't know what else to say.
I had to get the car detailed after
that. You've got to have no class to put your feet up on the dash. How about our friend Liz when we took her to Philly's Best? So, Paulie, we're having cheesesteaks, right? But they got whiz on them, right? It's 4 a.m. Our friend has an $800 suit coat on. She takes her hands.
Now, the friend is Mike Turzo.
Yes. She takes her hands, which are... She takes her hands, which are covered in liquid cheese, and rubs it all over his suit coat.
Why?
Well, she was drunk.
And she was looking for a napkin.
What was more disturbing is the fact that...
In her defense.
What was more disturbing was the fact that Turzo actually started to lick the cheese was off. I think that was more disturbing.
Like, not get a napkin.
That's when you know you're not fat. Not get a napkin or try and ask for water. He literally brought the coat up to him. And start licking and biting into it. Like
that's going to save you a dry cleaning bill right there.
Yeah, right. It's like, when I see them doing it, everyone's like, oh, this girl, you know, she wiped the cheese. I'm like, yeah, but you're eating the cheese off the sleeve. What is wrong with you? Like, no one was taken back by that. Everyone was taken back by the fact that his $800 sport coat was ruined, but not the fact that he ate the cheese off the sleeve.
How many of our political friends have we lost in the last 20 minutes?
More than a few. More than a few.
Talking about dirty fucking sluts and eating cheese off your coat. Real classy.
That's Lenny.
We're keeping it all classed up here on the Matthew Aaron Show.
That's Lenny.
So, Paulie, what's going on in your life right now? I know you got a new kid, right? You got the kid.
The first kid.
Back going.
You know, that's pretty good. She's a good baby. Laughs a lot. She sleeps all the time, so... Needless to say, she has a bunch of little dicks drawn in her face all the time.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Now, Paulie, let me ask you something, because we have this conversation all the time. How are you going to survive from your social life being over by having a live-in girlfriend and a kid?
You could dump the kid off at grandma's and then go out.
That's a move.
I can't wait
off
to have
grandma's.
Kids.
Oh yeah,
I look not so much the wife, but kids are fun.
Lenny's just gonna adopt a bunch of tiny little black children from Ethiopia.
No, I'm not Angelina and Brad Pitt. Oh. and you know, no, I like to have.
Hey,
you know,
Pat, are you on your fucking phone? What is he doing? You are the worst co-host of all time, I want you to know.
I had to look at the baseball scores.
He came down for the free food.
He's got to look at the baseball
scores. I had to look
scores
at the scores
for
real
that
quick.
Fantasy baseball that he knows nothing about.
I know a lot about
you
it.
You know nothing about baseball, Pat.
Are you kidding me?
Your
you
friends pick your teams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's your second baseman, Pat?
Dustin Pedroia from the Red Sox.
Who's your third baseman?
Kevin Youkilis.
From?
The Red Sox.
Okay. Who's your left fielder?
We don't do the position. Just a bunch of different outfielders.
Who's your outfielder?
I got Josh Hamilton
from
Texas.
Okay.
What's that,
man? Did he hurt?
What's that? Yeah. No, he's back playing again. Thank God.
Thank God, yeah, because his fantasy life would have been over.
I'm competitive. I like to win.
Your whole life's fantasy, Cam.
No, wait. How much do you guys win at the end?
No, it's not a lot.
$200.
No, yeah. It's like they spend 40 hours a week, you know, on this fantasy league to win like $300.
No,
so
you win like
How long is the baseball season? April to September, right?
Yeah, you know, October, yeah.
October.
But fantasy, probably September.
Yeah.
No,
so
we end in
April,
early September.
May, June, July, August. 6 months.
At least you can count.
For $200.
Yeah. Now, Paulie, are you
$1,500,
buddy. Paulie, are you in any fantasy leagues?
No, I don't get into it that much.
Oh,
I do enjoy baseball though, but I mean, I don't get into the whole fantasy league stuff.
It's just something to make it interesting, you know.
I never got into college sports.
Make it more interesting. What's the last live baseball game you went to, Pat?
I was at the rooftop game with Lenny.
Oh fuck!
That really wasn't a live game. It was a Cubs game, so it really can't be that live. Yeah, it's more. And I wasn't even drinking. I was drinking club soda the entire time. I couldn't wait to get out.
Hey, I'm not even wearing a Cubs shirt today.
You are.
Yeah, he's wearing a King Kong shirt.
I didn't even know
they made that shirt.
Well, this is the Matthew Aaron shirt.
Oh, that's the Matthew Aaron shirt.
Yeah, no, they're making them now.
Well, you need to
get them at the San Diego
Zoo. What is
that,
the mascot?
You need to get a new design.
Yeah.
What is that, your little mascot over there?
Yeah, it's our mascot.
Oh, that's cute.
It's the animal bigger than us. So we feel good about it.
I don't know about
that.
That's a push.
Now, Paulie, you've lost weight,
maybe
though, right? You lost a good amount of weight.
Yeah, I was down 30 pounds, but I found it.
Well, okay. You tried, Paul.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, I gave it a good college try, but I'm going back, though, because I need to get unlazy.
On the treadmill.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. Let's do a challenge. Let's do a three-month challenge.
Oh, God.
Percent body weight dropping.
I'll kill you.
Well, let's try a percent body weight to drop.
I would lose 30 to 40 pounds.
I think I could drop
100. Yeah.
In 3 months?
No.
I think I could drop.
He's a lot smaller than me, too.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'll fucking run 5 miles.
And Alex is going to be my trainer.
Luisi,
who's
a
trainer
homo
to the stars?
Why? What?
Who's a trainer to the stars?
You asshole, why'd you go to him first? Lenny first?
Because I'm full of
time. You're going to count on Lenny, who has no time in his schedule to begin with.
Lenny
and when the man does have free time, he's wearing flip-flops, to go run on a treadmill every day with you. Yeah, okay. I'm a guy that has some time on my hands.
He'll
trust
just take an enema and shit it all out.
You train me, I'd be Rocky Balboa.
Every time Pat spends the evening in the hotel room with me, I always ask Lenny, would you like an enema this evening? It's like he enjoys it. I wonder about this.
Are you giving out enemas, Pat? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I think he wants to be a nurse.
How about the time we were throwing up? Don't you do it?
Oh, my God. So was it after a wedding or where were we?
New Year's Eve.
Was it?
It was New Year's Eve.
This past New Year's Eve?
Two
years ago. Were we at the Swiss Hotel?
Yeah, we were at the Swiss Hotel.
We went out. We partied at the Drake.
Yeah. That's a good
got hammered, get back, ordered a bunch of food. I could only eat half my sandwich, so you know I was really drunk. Then I'm like, I'm going to throw up. I don't want to. And then you hear Pat, don't do it because I'm going to do it. And so we're both like fighting over the toilet bowl. Neither of us throwing up yet. Thank God we didn't.
I know, right?
It would have been very messy. Oh, just, yeah.
Paulie, when's the last time you puked in public?
Oh, man, I'm kind of known for that.
Well, that's why Pat doesn't drink, because he'll puke in public all the time.
Yeah.
And he ain't going to...
My...
Oh.
No.
Let me see. It's probably been a good...
It's been a while.
I'd say 2 months since the last time I threw up.
The last time I puked in public, I drank a bottle of Hurricane mix. You know the Hurricane stuff you buy at the store? The huge heater?
Did you ice it?
No, I drank the whole fucking thing. And on the way home, it finally hit me. And you could seriously see out the window from Ogden Avenue to my house a line of puke.
So it made it easy for the cops to find out where you were.
No, I wasn't driving.
Literally, they
trailed
you.
I didn't drive. And then the last time I got really fucking drunk, not counting a few weeks ago at State, which we won't discuss anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Flair and I am.
Woo! Rick Flair.
Woo!
Ric Flair.
But Adam and I were talking outside. That's when I did the 58-year-old broad at the Grotto. Paulie, have you ever gone over 40 or 50?
Not that I remember.
Oh, there's this 58-year-old broad. She thought I looked like Zach Galifianakis. She told me I'm her soulmate. We go to a hotel. We go to the fuck. What's the hotel in Yorktown now, though? No, not Wyndham. What the fuck is it?
Weston?
Weston, yeah. We go to the Weston. I'm in her room.
She probably thought you were Ron Jeremy.
She gets a phone call from her husband. Her husband's wondering where she's at. I'm like, I got to make this quick. So I fucked her. I'm watching some TV and looking for a way to get out, and I got out. But 58, I don't know. It was kind of nice, to be honest.
Did you pay for the hotel room?
No, she did. She's fucking filthy rich.
She's
well, everyone's filthy rich compared to you, pal.
That's true. Paulie, are you filthy rich compared to me, too?
I got the filthy part down.
Oh. But see, if someone pukes in public, I'll puke.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I have a very
smell,
weak stomach.
The smell.
The smell. The sight.
And the sound.
The sound.
Well,
the sound.
Ask anyone. I start gagging when I think about
the months. Gag sound. Yeah, yeah, he's gagging right now because Pat's got his cock in his
there
mouth.
There was this thing on Tosh.0 and the kid ate chickens and
he is very good at what he does.
See, Paulie was afraid he had to watch his language coming on this program. No, no, we talk about cocks in the mouth all the time on this show. Oh, excuse
me.
How did you delete this whole show?
You look like you're going to swallow that microphone.
Oh, Caesar, you're such a terrible human being sometimes, you know that?
You're not going to delete the first part, right?
No, he's not going to delete any part.
I mean, the good part was the local part.
Paulie, do you see what I deal with here, though? I got a producer that wants to edit every little thing
so he can
get Paris Hilton on the show.
Well, you got to keep a tight ship.
Yeah. We got a multiple Emmy winner on tomorrow, and I can guarantee you that show will be just as filthy as this one.
It is a tight ship with these two down here.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big basement.
That's funny.
It's a big basement.
That's funny
those
because,
are two big stomachs.
It's funny because Pat has a tattoo above his ass that says tight ship.
Oh.
That was actually a good one.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
It was good.
I know.
That
I know
good.
It was good.
Was good.
Yeah, what
you
else
know,
you got?
You know, he Pat carries the money on him. I've never seen it.
Where?
He has the same $100 bill for the last 4 years. I promise. Yeah. I promise, because I've read the date on that thing, and
oh,
I
oh, wait. What was the date?
1999, probably.
You sure?
Do you got to wipe? Let's see. Do you got to wipe mold off his $100 bill when he brings it out?
Let's see. Yeah. What is it?
Pat carries around $100 bill.
I got a 52. 96.
96.
Yeah, 96.
Well, I was looking at it upside down.
Looking at it upside down.
Paulie, do you ever carry around 100?
What's the serial number?
I can't. If I carry around 100, it's gone in 96 minutes.
Oh, me too, Paulie. But that's what we need to do. We need to just carry around 100 and never use it.
JetBlue coming away 24 hours. No, that's an airplane call thing.
Well, Paulie, what else do you got going on? We got about 7 minutes left, and I want to know what you got plugging here. What are we plugging?
I'm doing a show in Scottsdale on the 24th.
Love
Scottsdale. At Stand Up Scottsdale, if there's any Arizona listeners, that's where I'm at. I'm doing open mics, doing guest sets here in Tucson. I'm still going to be on Twitter, fucking doing my little one-liners here and there, so.
Yeah, keep it pretty up with the thing, man. I know people are following you, and I know they're interested in you. They got to be.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Following you. You know what, Lenny? Shake your head. No one's following you. You got zero followers. You got Luca. Luca's following you because he
Matt
follows
Aaron.
You. Oh, fuck. Wait, Caesar follow you, too? He had to get you on the show? He's
you know
like, hey, pretty girl, Big Len Kanata, can you come on the show? I love you.
5 million followers.
Who's at 5 million followers? Who?
Paris has 5 million
yeah,
followers.
You know how many?
5 million followers.
Oh, speaking of that many followers, where have Charlie Sheen? Whatever happened to him?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, we were raving about him for a long time, and then it was just, like, gone.
No, I didn't know. Who's got 5 million followers?
So Sheen.
Oh, Paris Hilton? So it's 5 million losers following one person.
No, right? I'm sure a lot of it's news outlets and people that just want to track what the hell she's
yeah.
doing.
Yeah, yeah, people that have nothing better
no,
to do with
their
lives.
You know what, though? It brings humor to an otherwise boring day.
No, it doesn't bring any humor. She's not funny. Paulie brings humor to an otherwise boring
no,
day
no,
if
she's
you
not
follow
funny intentionally. The shit she does becomes funny.
Oh, yeah, her porn career? Yeah, that's kind of funny.
You really got to wonder why anyone would, like with Anthony Weiner, why would you film yourself
or do any of this stuff in a digital age? Well, I just like how the first porn tape was an accident.
He was a Democrat, wasn't
and
he?
And the second porn tape was an accident.
A lot of Republicans have been caught doing sick shit, too.
Was he a Democrat?
Okay.
Hey, this is a bipartisan thing.
Before you get started on that.
Caesar, producer, can we confirm that that was a Democrat,
please?
Yes,
he's a Democrat from
New York. Yeah, and Newt Gingrich left his wife while she was dying of cancer and getting blowjobs in
his
car.
Oh, it sounds like Edwards.
He was a
Democrat also, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a Democrat also.
What was the senator for Minnesota, the Republican, who was
secretly gay, tapping his foot?
Tapping his foot in the stall, yeah.
Well, I remember Ted Haggard.
There's your family values.
Yeah, Ted Haggard was all about family values, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
So, guess what?
I was just curious.
What I'm saying is that it's a bipartisan thing.
It sure is.
In a digital age... Don't be stupid.
Okay, you know what's bipartisan? The most bipartisan thing on the planet? Horny. Everyone's fucking horny. Get over it.
24/7.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad for Anthony Weiner because I kind of like the guy.
And you know what? He had some good stuff going.
Well, his problem was he didn't get laid. That's where he fucked up. That's where he's a fucking loser.
His wife looks very attractive, I think.
No, I mean, other than that, though, but he's a fucking loser. He's jerking off at the computer. He should be fucking getting some.
And, you know, these are not the kind of people you want in elected office.
No.
That's like Lenny with Lisa Ann. You do like her.
Kudos to him.
Yeah, kudos to him, Paulie. Kudos to him. He's doing his thing.
Tiger Woods. He should open Tiger Woods Strip
Club.
Here,
you know, you're Tiger Woods. Why would you get married? You have all this money. You can get any girl you want.
No. Seriously, it's about having a family and the good stuff in life.
But he's still young. Why don't you just, you know.
Well, listen, we could say that because we are young. We could say that because we are young. But when you start to get about 40.
Paulie, you know what happened today? Lenny found out there's politicians listening. And now Lenny's all family values. And, oh, no, this is why. And that is why. But you know how Lenny's like on other days, Paulie?
What's that? Around randomly jerking off other guys.
That's how he is. On other days, he's talking about guys going around randomly jerking off other guys.
I think I was speaking of Republicans.
Oh my God, this pork chop was phenomenal.
That sounds like Lenny. You look like an oversized pork chop over there.
Oh, fuck. Here we go.
What are you laughing at?
Touch my bone. Hey, and since Chucky can't be here today.
Well, that's a tragedy.
Anal beads.
Chucky loves the anal beads.
Paulie,
if you ever listen to the show, previous shows, go on iTunes, and you can hear all about our friend Chuck and his sex stories of fucking women in trailers and using anal beads. Very good stuff. And he lost a lot of weight, too. He looks like a fag now.
The P90X.
I didn't mean fag. Back
to the weight loss challenge. Back to the weight loss
challenge. Oh, yeah, weight loss challenge.
I think we should do this.
Speaking of.
If there's anyone listening to the show, which there probably isn't.
Now you're going to train me.
Oh, now you're going to
train me. Miyagi over there. Paulie, are you in on a weight loss challenge here?
I'm down.
All right, Paulie's down. We're doing this. Weight loss challenge.
Well, listen,
but, Paulie, you are in Arizona, so you're going to have to send us a picture of you on the scale or something. We're going to have to get a picture of the weight so we know you're not cheating.
I'll just go on belt size.
If you're only cheating yourself. You're only cheating yourself.
So what's the wager? Because we got 2 minutes here. What's the wager?
No, I think 3 months. Uh-huh. Whoever loses the most percent-wise of their body weight.
How are we going to know?
We'll do it, you know, here, and then we'll
yeah, but
do
where
it.
Are we going to go get a reading for percent of body weight?
Well, we all have gym memberships that we don't fucking use, so I'm pretty sure we could go
No, speak for yourself.
You
I
know.
Think someone here uses their gym membership.
It's a free gym membership.
Yeah.
Alex does also.
You wonder how much Pat
Caesar
goes
does
to
also.
The gym.
but mind you, the ones
just
using...
the two big guys here, they don't use it.
Pat works twice a week.
Yeah. I wonder how much Pat works out when he greases up his hair and wears his 10-pound gold chain to the gym.
Well, before I start this diet challenge...
Does he smell like Dracar Noir, too?
Yes. Pat smells like Drac Noir, yes. He's got Aqua Velva in the car right now.
Oh, my God.
We got 90 seconds left. Thank you, Paulie, very much for doing the show. You're great. We'd love to have you on again soon. You could see Paulie doing stand-up in Arizona, and you could keep reading Paulie's tweets at Paulie Pellegrosso and at Not Gary Busey. And Paulie will be in on this weight loss challenge, which won't even be a challenge for me. Pat, do you have anything to promote?
Mr. Beef and Pizza on North Harlem.
Yeah.
You like Italian beef? Come on in.
Mr. Beef and Pizza in South Harlem. Go ahead, Lenny.
North Harlem.
I got nothing to plug. I'm not a freeloader.
Oh, no. We do have something to plug, Lenny. Our fantastic interview with John Fritchie, which you can now download in 2 hours on iTunes.
It was a great interview. Great interviewing on your part also.
Well, you know.
You did a great job, buddy.
You know, all those people ripping on us on Twitter here, they can blow me.
Lenny, you did a good job also. Congratulations.
Thank you,
Pat. And
one compliment.
You guys were both great.
And the Paris Hilton. You're a fucking yokel.
And Vanessa Marcel, we hope to have you on the show.
And Vanessa Marcel, we would like to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Love Paulie, to have you on the show.
Paulie, thanks very much, pal. Talk to you this
Thank
week.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, man.
All right, brother. I hope you had fun.
All right, I did. You guys take it easy.
Good man.
All righty.
I'm Matthew Aaron. You can catch us at www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. Thank you very much. Have a good night.